Warning, this podcast contains spoilers. Warning, this podcast contains spoilers.
Let's go watch it in 2D. No, let's go watch it in 3D. But if we watch it in 3D, then is it worth the cost?
So much has happened since I last saw you. I lost my hammer, like yesterday, so that's still pretty fresh.
Hello everyone, this is James Tate with
Adolf Vega.
And this will be the spoiler-filled review of Thor 3, or Thor Ragnarok, either one. If you do not want to be spoiled, do not watch this film. So, spoilers.
Alright.
Let's go into the story. What did you think of the story? Spoiler filled, Adolf.
All right, let's just go in order of what happened in the movie. So Thor starts off in the cage, and he's talking to the camera, or talking, like, breaking the fourth wall kind of thing.
Uh-huh.
You eventually learn that he's talking to, like, some skeleton or something.
Yes.
And you have no idea how he got there.
Yeah.
Okay, well, whatever. He somehow got there. And then he goes down and talks to a demon and or something. I kind of got lost there.
You mean who he's talking to?
Yeah.
Like the guy? The guy that he gets trapped by? Okay. Surtur. That's
right.
Who he's talking to. Surtur is the leader of the fire giants.
Okay.
So, basically, Surtur is very connected to the basically the destruction of Asgard and Ragnarok. So he's a big part of it. And what I'm kind of glad is that they didn't show him in any of the trailers. He was So I felt they kind of bit would the, like this scene, this opening scene, kind of would have been spoiled, you know.
Yeah, because they showed him as Hulk was jumping toward him at the end, but he had no idea what the context of that was.
Yeah.
So then Thor defeats him, and not too much of a issue, but, you know, kind of the whole little chain going around in a circle. I'm glad they only did that twice, that joke where he was like, all right, keep talking, hold on, pause, because the chain got to go around, you know, where he's like rotating, you know, but then he comes back, and then he comes back to Asgard, and he finds out that they're doing a play of end of Thor 2, or the middle of Thor 2, where Loki dies, quote-unquote. And I like that Thor right away figured out that it was Loki as his dad.
Yes. Like, he knows something's up.
Yeah, and It was pretty fun. And then how do you get to Doctor Strange is like really weird.
Yeah, I felt that was kind of interesting that they had Doctor Strange in it.
Like, it was a cameo, but at the same time, he was just like running circles around Thor. Just like,
That was weird.
So like Thor and Loki go back to Earth, and then you know, the Doctor Strange pops out of nowhere and takes Loki and then takes Thor, and then they have a conversation, which part of that was part of an end credit scene, you know. And Doctor Strange keeps, like, teleporting or jumping around his office. And it was I think they did good enough, but if they did, like, a little bit too much, it would, you know, one more of those cut scenes, it would have gone on too long, but it was just right. Where he's like, you know, I don't trust your brother Loki. He's been here before. We've seen this game before. And basically telling the audience, we know Loki has been tricking us. You know, another way to kind of break the fourth wall but not be obvious about it. Because we all know Loki is going to turn on Thor eventually. One way or another, it's going to be something, you know?
Yeah, so. I really like the joke they have in that scene where it's revealed that Loki has been falling for 30 minutes straight. I thought that was funny.
Yeah.
Like, just to imagine that.
So, yeah, and then his hammer turned into an umbrella, and I guess...
Which is a reference to a previous Thor film. It's a subtle one, but it is a reference to, I believe, a scene from Thor 2, where Thor hangs up his hammer like on a coat rack. So okay. I felt that was kind of an interesting callback.
I did like that when they got back to New York or whatever, like the women on the street automatically recognized Thor and like wanted to take selfies with him.
Yeah.
You know, I kind of imagine that to be totally legit. And, you know, if Hemsworth was there, even in Thor or outside of costume, people would do that. You know, he's so recognizable.
Yeah.
And I thought that was just like, yeah, Thor totally relishes in that. He has no problem with that. And, like, I guess they didn't know who Loki was or didn't care. Or he disappeared so quickly that it didn't matter. But, you know, how many callbacks they had to other movies were really great. We'll get to some of them later. So then eventually they find out where Odin is. And I was really worried that Odin wasn't going to be in this movie because Anthony Hopkins has, like, I think said in interviews that he hates this role. He hates it because he's a great actor and superhero movies are beneath him. And, you know, that whole entitled actor, I'm great, you know, this is garbage kind of thing. So I was thinking that he would not be in here. And he has a pretty nice little scene and a couple of scenes in here where,
yeah,
you know, I was not expecting him to be. This is the most he's been in any of the Thor movies. And he does a great job as Odin. And, you know, you get to know, you know, finally know that Hela is their sister, which is not a canonical thing. It's changing up the canon. Am I right?
Yeah, it is.
Because I think Hela's supposed to be the daughter of Loki in the canon. Am I right?
Yeah, they changed it up.
But it made it more interesting, the story, though, to make it this, you know? And
yeah,
obviously...
make her, like, more powerful, essentially, than Thor.
And Odin dies, which I was not really... I was kind of expecting, you know, but at the same time, I wasn't really thinking it was going to happen. And I didn't know that he could die, you know? Some of the Asgardians are kind of so powerful.
Yeah.
You don't think of death being possible, you know, but... And then how they're starting to fight Hela when she came in, with the, you know, the throwing the hammer at her, and she's just destroying it, which I was kind of wondering, was that going to be explained? Or I was kind of confused by that because, okay, there's like a painting with her with the hammer, but she's the goddess of death, so she could destroy it? I don't understand.
Okay, so this is my first problem with the film. I hate how they destroy Thor's hammer and he never gets it back. I understand, and this is kind of my own tangent, so I'm just getting this out of the way in the beginning of the review. I understand that it's explained in this film that Thor doesn't need his hammer to be powerful. But at the same time, it's an iconic thing of Thor. It's part of him. It's part of his character. It's like, you know, Iron Man without his suit or Captain America without his shield. It's a thing that has been part of his character that has been a most recognizable thing. You know, when you think Thor, you think Thor's hammer, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So I wasn't a fan of how, you know, he lost his hammer.
Now, okay. I actually did like it because of all the things you said, where it did make him feel like a different character, that he didn't have to rely on it anymore. He could be his own thing. But I was expecting it to come back, and I think it's kind of ballsy that it didn't come back. But I'm wondering, is there going to be a version of somehow or another that they do get it back to him, or another version of it, or what? You know, I was kind of thinking that might have been like a post-credit scene or something, where, you know, he goes to the person who made the hammer, or, you know, someone else, you know.
Why couldn't they say that he just makes one? Like, why can't he just think really hard and then, like, a new one is formed? Like, that would have been so cool.
So, yeah, I just expect whenever we see Thor again, he's going to have it. And I don't know how they're going to, they have to explain it. They can't just let it go. You know, I did kind of like that they didn't have it, but at the same time, like you said, it's such an iconic part of him. It's hard to not see him with it, you know? And I think it would have been cool if maybe they rebuilt it or something, or I don't know.
Yeah.
So Loki then, you know, calls up the bridge, teleportation thing to take him back. And actually, this is like a really smart thing how they did it, where it took all of them back instead of Loki and Thor, like he assumed, which is something that I was thinking was going to happen when they said that. I'm like, you idiot. Just like how Thor told him, that's going to happen. They can't just teleport instantly. They're not Star Trek, you know? So she's going to be part of that. And if that didn't happen, she would be wherever the hell she was, you know, wherever that, I don't know if that was Earth. I think that was Earth where he died. That cliff or something?
Yeah, that was Earth. That was Sweden.
So, I mean, she would have been there, but still, she wouldn't have been in Asgard, you know. And the her powers are, you know, I guess, stronger in Asgard. I don't understand that.
They keep referring to the fact that if she's in Asgard, she's more powerful, but they never kind of explain why that is.
So, yeah, they go back there, and then as they're going in the teleporter, she's the one that goes up, and then Thor and Loki fall out. And somehow or another, they both land in the same place, which I was like, huh. Really? Okay.
Yeah.
I guess. I mean, I'm okay with Loki eventually being in that planet, but I did like that they said that there was a couple weeks between now and then, you know, but I was like, they could have, you know, maybe had a scene with Loki going to some other planet and then, you know, jumping around and eventually getting there, you know.
Maybe him falling and he lands on a ship and that ship is going towards there.
Yeah. And I was actually was expecting this to be a nod to the Comic-Con screen. I don't know if you remember hearing about this, that in Comic-Con they had a scene from Avengers, the new Avengers movie coming out next year, where Thor is like hitting the side of the windshield of the ship that the Guardians of the Galaxy are in, you know?
Yeah.
I was kind of expecting that here, and it didn't happen. I was like, oh, okay. You know, that would have been a fun little nod that he just, you know, he falls out. He hits their ship, and then he falls back out, and then he, you know, he's like, who was that, you know?
Yeah.
Well, what was that? So, yeah. And then there's like this, they attack him in the trash planet or something, and they're able to take him down, and then they're able to put something in his neck that stops him, which I was like, it seemed a little bit too easy, you know?
Yeah, and also, I kind of, one nitpick I kind of have is why, if his powers are all thunder/electricity based, why wouldn't he be immune to the electricity that comes out of the thing?
Yep, I was thinking that same thing. What, couldn't he just fry it?
Yeah, you know? Yeah, like when he powered up, you know, it would fry that thing.
So, I don't know. You know, you just gotta say Marvel... cinematic.
They need a reason why he's on the planet. They need a reason why he has to stay.
And that little trip in the chair was hilariously awesome.
Yeah.
They had like it was just like a Charlie the Chocolate Factory, and it was really cool.
I thought it was hilarious how it's like he looks over and Loki's there, like just Loki, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was funny.
And then Jeff Goldblum's in here, and he's really out there, but he's fun. I don't think I've ever seen him this silly before.
Yeah.
Now, isn't the character supposed to not be human-esque? Like, totally alien-looking?
Yeah. He's supposed to be, like, blue. Or the Master... Wait. He's just known as the Master, right?
Grandmaster, I think it is, but yeah.
Yeah, he's supposed to not look human.
So, you know, they talk about they're going to have a big fight, and then they have a fight with Hulk, which is interesting because, you know, I actually really appreciated that he was really trying not to fight him, and Hulk did not recognize Thor, even though it doesn't make any sense because he should be able to recognize him. Thor has fought with Hulk and with Bruce Banner multiple times, you know, at this point.
Yeah, I thought that was a little bit weird, that Hulk wasn't able to recognize him. Though, I think it was one of those things where, you know, because later in the film, Hulk recognizes Thor. So, it's kind of weird.
And
you know
then,
what I mean? It's like...
Yeah. And then he said, you know, he's like, he's been Hulk for 2 years that way. And it's like, has it been that
long?
Yeah,
that's like really weird to me.
Like, I was expecting them to say, well, they put this super chip in me, and then that stopped me from becoming Bruce Banner or something like that, you know? Because he eventually did go back to being Bruce Banner, but it wasn't like anything, you know, there was a trigger to it, but it wasn't like, I don't know, I thought there'd be more to it than that.
Yeah.
And then you get to meet like the rock friend, and I don't remember his character.
Yeah.
That was cool. I liked him.
Yeah, I thought he was kind of funny. He's like really soft-spoken.
Yeah, and you know, they eventually escape, and they go through, and then they have the Valkyrie woman there.
Yeah.
And that would have been a good space for Lady Sif. I don't know why she wasn't mentioned. You know, they mentioned Jane Foster being, you know, dumping and whatever, which, you know, honestly, I did not mind any of them being on in this movie. I thought Thor friends were just kind of stupid.
Yeah.
Like, they were just not needed, and I did not believe Jane Foster was in love with Thor. I thought that was a hokey thing. And, you know, the professor, just like, it's just stupid. Good. Cut it out. I don't need to hear any of that. You know?
Yeah.
So then after that, they're trying to go through the city, and Bruce Banner and trying to figure out what's going on. And, you know, Thor puts on like a blanket over his head, like a disguise, you know?
Yeah.
Like, really? Come on.
Yeah, and then I like how Bruce Banner said that he was going as Tony Stark. Yeah.
Now,
hilarious. I thought it was kind of an interesting thing that, like, Bruce Banner was still, like, the last memories he had were of before the ending of Age of Ultron. So that was kind of interesting. Because he asked about, like, oh, did we save Sokovia?
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. So that's kind of interesting that was a reference.
Yeah. That was interesting. And just how the interaction there with him being in the movie for this long and being, you know, he basically is, the Hulk is treated like a weapon in the Avengers movies, and he just comes in, fights, and then leaves, and that's basically it. He actually has a lot of speaking roles and dialogue, and get to know his character, and, you know...
I really like Hulk in the film. I really like the Hulk's character, and the fact that, you know, like, he has his own character. He's not just a monster where he doesn't talk or anything. You know?
Yeah. Or he was just kind of a dummy, but kind of a lovable dummy.
Yeah.
And, you know, he wasn't just angry Hulk all the time. He had a three-dimensional aspect of him. And,
it felt more like the comic book where, because in the way the comic book works, it's like Hulk and Bruce Banner are almost completely different characters. They have their own personality. And I think that this was really cool because you get to see both sides of, you know, Hulk and Bruce Banner. I think that there's a lot of kind of funny parts with both Hulk and Thor. like the fact that Thor basically keeps boasting that he won, that he beat Hulk.
Yeah, it was kind of weird because I guess the comics, I think Hulk is like considered like literally the one most powerful creature in the whole universe almost.
Yeah.
So Thor should have lost, you know.
Yeah.
It's kind of hazy who won and who lost, you know.
Yeah. I personally believe that Thor won because if he wouldn't have been stopped, I think he would have been able to beat Hulk. But that's just me. I think that this film strongly hints at the fact that this universe has a very powerful Thor because, you know, as we said before, he doesn't even need his hammer now. He could just do all those things on his own. Whereas the comic Thor would need his hammer.
Very, very important thing there because comic Thor, once the hammer is separated from him, starts to lose his powers, which was the big story of Thor 1.
Yes. And which, if you think about it, the whole thing kind of is very confusing when you take into account Thor 1.
I guess Odin took away his powers and gave it back to him.
I sort of believe like maybe it was because, okay, Odin in this film says that it was like a learning tool. So I think that maybe the reason why he wasn't able to do it without his hammer is because like the hammer is what got him used to using the power. And then now because he's used the hammer for so long, he can do it on his own. Maybe that was the logic behind it. I don't think it was whereas like, okay, he could just use the abilities just from the get-go, you know?
So, yeah, Thor, Loki, and I forget, Valkyrie girl?
Yeah,
and,
Valkyrie, yeah.
I forget her actual character name. You know, that was this group that they were in. They go back to Asgard. And
the Revengers.
Revengers.
Yes.
So, technically, they're the Defenders, but we're not getting into that.
Yeah.
They go back to Asgard, and it was kind of funny how they were making fun of the name.
Yeah.
And just how they got back, and how Loki tried to trick Thor, and he was a step ahead, and I was like, good, that was so satisfying. He knew that at one point Thor, you know, Loki was going to do that, and Thor was step ahead.
I kind of find it also hilarious that Loki decided to try and be like the savior of like, because throughout this film, Loki basically builds himself up as like this almost like messianic figure that like sacrificed himself to save Asgard.
Yeah.
And, like, so... yeah.
I mean, Loki is a trickster, but in his heart, he wants to be someone to be looking forward to. So he's jealous of Thor because Thor is a legit hero, and having a way to come back and save the day or be, you know.
Yeah.
So they intelligently realize they can't beat Hela, so they have to go back and get the head of the fire demon.
Yeah.
And that was actually a really smart way of doing it. It was risky.
Yeah. And I felt it was really cool because it's something you knew. Like, you knew that this fire guy wanted to come back as a giant and destroy Asgard. And, like, he says that. And then that's what happened.
I was not expecting that. I thought Hela was going to be destroying Asgard.
Yeah.
And so that
was really cool because it makes Surtur one of the only villains in the Marvel Climax universe who wins. Technically, in this film, the villain wins.
Yeah, and he's still out there. No one defeated him. No one killed him. I don't know where he is now. He's just floating in space or whatever, but, you know.
He's probably fine, to be honest.
Yeah, and... So. You see Loki go back to the the weapon room. And it's actually pretty interesting that Hela goes in the weapon room and says that the Infinity Gauntlet is fake.
Yeah, and this was kind of an interesting thing because, like, the we know that there was two Infinity Gauntlets. There was one in the room and one that, you know, Thanos has. And we know that the Thanos one was the real one.
So that was a really interesting thing to do. And then they had they had Loki look at the Tesseract really very nicely done. That if you weren't paying attention, you would not see it. But I think it's quite obvious he stole that.
Yeah. It's you know that Loki had that. He grabbed it. Because they put in that scene where he was eyeing it. I bet you he snatched it.
So, you know, they eventually, you know, Hulk has a fight with the dog creature. And, you know, you do get a good scene with the Guardian.
Yeah.
But I kind of wish that he had a really badass action scene.
Yeah. He's one thing I kind of it's kind of unfortunate, like, how they had a lot of Thor characters in it that were in the other films that they just killed off, and, like, they didn't care about it. Like, they didn't even mention them after they died. And I felt that kind of sucked because, you know, they're in the other Thor films. So I felt it was kind of a waste. Like, I don't know.
Like, is he supposed to be, like, a pretty awesome character, too?
Yeah, yeah.
He's not just the person guarding the door or whatever, but he's also supposed to be a really awesome warrior or something. So
Yeah, exactly.
And, you know, eventually, yeah, Asgard's destroyed, and the demon monster is still out there, and Hela looks pretty destroyed, you know, and you have everyone in the ship, and it flies away, and the mid-credit scene is a gigantic ship coming next to that ship, because Asgard is the people, not a location. Which then is like, okay, is the people of Asgard now going to be, you know, who's that ship? What's going to happen there? That's a big question. Do you know who that ship is? I'm guessing it's something to do with, you know, Thanos, but I don't know.
Yeah. So it's kind of an interesting film where, you know, at the end of the day, bad guy wins.
And then the final end credit scene is kind of a throwaway scene.
Yeah, the final end credit scene shows the Grandmaster, basically, he crashes his ship, and he's in front of, basically, all the rebellion. And it's kind of a throwaway, you know, scene.
I guess closure to the character if he dies or survives.
Yeah.
It's pretty, you must assume that he's going to be killed, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Do you know who that gigantic ship is from, or no?
It's Thanos.
Okay.
It's Thanos' ship. So, makes me wonder, oh, well, are they going to be floating in front of that ship for 2 years, or?
Yeah.
You know?
And then Hulk said something interesting Bruce Banner, that when he goes back into Hulk, he doesn't know if he'd come back out of it.
Yeah.
So I wonder if that's
interesting.
I wonder if that's going to be something that is going to come back. You know, are they going to forget that line, or are they going to mention it? You know. So.
I don't know.
Just in case you did not listen to the spoiler-free version, let's give our final scores again. James, what do you give it?
A 10, personally. I mean, besides a couple of gripes. But I personally think it's one of the best Marvel Cinematic Universe films.
Yeah, I'll give it a 9. It's a little bit under there, but still one of the best and so much fun. So good.
Yeah.
You know, it felt like it just felt right. It felt like a good, way to do Thor. Just go balls out crazy and just have fun with it, you know?
Yeah, yeah. I felt that a lot of the humor worked in this film, and it wasn't like Guardians where they just went too far a little bit. Like, for example, I really like all the jokes that have to do with you presuming something. Like, you think that when Bruce Banner jumps out of the ship, you think that he's gonna become Hulk when he's gonna land as Hulk and it's gonna be really cool. No, he lands as Bruce Banner flat on his face and like belly flops on the movie. That was funny.
Yeah, subverting the expectations of the viewer was really fun.
Yeah.
And, you know, playing for our intelligence and saying, you think it's going to be this way, but no, we're going to do it this way. We're going to give you a curveball and a swerve and, you know, make it different.
That was funny. Yeah. And I really like jokes like that. And they have a lot of those where you think it's going to end one way, but no.
Yeah. And, you know, Loki being a semi-good guy at the end.
Yeah.
You know, we all know that Loki's has another thing going. Maybe, you know, he's going to give the Tesseract to, or keep the Tesseract, or give it to Thanos or something, you know. Who knows? But all in all, it was a great movie and a lot of fun and a great way to end this year of Marvel movies, which all of them have been really good. You know, the only one that disappointed me was Guardians 2. But, I mean, disappointed is not a huge difference. It's not as good as I would have liked, but still good. Yeah.
So, all right. See you guys later.
All right. Bye.
Asgard is dead. And it'll be reborn in my image. I thought you'd be glad to see me.
I need to stop her here and now. To prevent Ragnarok. The end of everything.
All right, so that's going to wrap up this podcast.
Remember to like, comment, favorite, subscribe, love, whatever. Heart it, be something.
3D or 2D.com can be found on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, YouTube, iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher Radio, and SoundCloud. And if you want to send us email, our email address is email3dor2d@gmail.com. And thank you again for listening. Bye.
Thanks. Bye.
Bye, everyone.